If you have your Bibles tonight, would you turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter number 20. Psalm chapter number 20. I found out a long time ago that when I was in the world, I just thought I was having fun. But I thank God that I know the joy of the Lord, don't you?
Amen.
And I thank God that we can have something called good, clean fun. And I don't know what the world's going to come to. People are just cutting each other down, chewing each other up, spitting each other out. But I thank God for the love that God put in my heart for people. And I appreciate the Lord doing that. In Psalm chapter 20 tonight, I want to read the psalm in your hearing. The Bible says this is a psalm of David. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. If correctly read, that's 9 verses. In Psalm chapter number 20, would you pray with me just a moment? Father, thank you tonight for these that have gathered for prayer meeting. We thank you, Father, tonight for He, the Holy Spirit. God, I pray tonight, Lord, for a touch from heaven. I pray, God, you would anoint these lips of clay. Help us, our Father, tonight as we look into your word to glean. And, Lord, to get some help that would help us through the rest of the week, the Lord, it might leave a mark in our lives for your honor and for your glory. Lord, we pray tonight that you would meet the needs of these prayer requests. The Lord, certainly tonight, the greatest need is the need of salvation. Lord, we pray tonight that you'll just bless now. Help us. Give us ears to hear. Help us, as Brother Jason said a while ago, to be attentive unto the Word of God. May the Spirit of God teach us something in this evening's message. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We, back in early in the month, I preached several messages entitled, A November to Remember. And God has led my heart early this morning to this text here, where the Bible said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of our Lord. And I begin to look at the psalm and examine the psalm, and I begin to think about the month around the church. And please, don't ever think I'm boasting in the church. But Brother Keith said something when he was here. He said, there's churches that go for years, never baptize anybody. They go for years and never see someone walk the aisle. Never see someone turn from their sin and turn to the Lord Jesus. And so I believe the Lord wanted me to finish out the month with this November to remember. I'll say this. No doubt in this month, there's been people that's come and gone. just going through the motions as they always did. But I'll tell you this, it's been a month that God has made a difference.
Amen.
In many lives. Amen.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. I thank God He's making a difference in my life.
Amen.
I don't ever want to take His blessings for granted. Amen. If you would, tomorrow evening, Brother Jason and I are going to be making some visits. I'm not saying that to boast. I'm saying that to ask you to pray. Because, beloved, if God goes before us, amen, it'll make a big difference. Amen. We'll just be coming along behind Him that's already went before us. And that is our prayer. There's several things in the psalm tonight that I think we should remember. And I was thinking as I was reading the text, this thought didn't even go through my mind today, but I share this thought with you. The Bible said some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of our God. The name of the Lord, our God. It's Christmas time now. Thanksgiving's past. We're headed into December. And I believe with all of my heart, the majority of the people in the United States of America will not stop one time to remember the name of the Lord our God. They'll not stop one time to remember, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. They'll not stop one time to remember, and He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That'll be the furthest thing from so many's minds because of the commercialism and what's going on in the economy and everything else today. But thank God, we're His people. I thank God I'm not going to have Christmas without Christ. I want Him to be in the middle of my thoughts. I want Him to be in the middle of my actions. I want Him to be in the middle of my home. I want Him to be in the middle of my prayer life. I want Him to be in the middle of the Bible study, in the middle of the preaching, in the middle of our services. Brother Dale, in the middle of the choir. Amen. We don't want Him on the outskirts somewhere. We need to remember the name of the Lord, our God. Thou shalt call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, can you believe this? The likes of Him come down here to be with the likes of us.
Amen.
God with us. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah tonight. Well, that just come about while I was reading a verse a while ago. Let's see if we can get in the message now and see what the Lord's got for us tonight. Several things here that I believe God wants to call our attention to and help us to remember. Number one, I believe God wants us to remember that we serve a God that hears His people. I don't know about you, but I think sometimes we take that for granted. You say, Pastor, how come you think we take that for granted? Because we don't pray. If we really believe, beloved, that He hears His people and that He answers prayer, then we'd pray. Say amen. What's what the Bible said here? In verse number 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. I'm not against calling on the Lord in the day of trouble. David was a man after God's own heart. And there were times in David's life, it seemed like every way he turned, there was trouble on every hand. David would have read the book of Job where it said, man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. David would have said, amen, Job. Amen. But I do believe this. I believe it's a whole lot better to be calling on Him when you're not in trouble than just to wait till you're in trouble. Amen. And treat God like a spare tire. You get Him out of the trunk. Amen. When you have a flat. No, it shouldn't be that way. But the Lord hears us in the day of trouble. The Bible said, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Look at verse number 6. We need to remember that we serve a God that hears His people. He's got His ear bent towards you and I that know Him. Amen. In the free pardon of sin. And He wants us to talk to Him. The Bible said in verse number 6, Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. Watch this. He will hear him from his holy heaven. Aren't you glad seated at the right hand of God the Father, there's a mediator. One mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit, sometimes we don't even know how to pray or what we ought to pray for. And we can get down and we can just have a burden. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit of God, if it don't come out just right, by the time it gets to the right hand of the Father, it's just right. Amen. In other words, God knows what we need even before we ask. But he said, ask and you shall receive. I don't know about you tonight. That blesses me. We need to remember that we serve a God that hears his people. Look at verse number 9. Save, Lord. Let the king hear us when we call. Aren't you glad the Bible said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I just say tonight, hallelujah. There's a November to remember. We need to remember that we serve a God that hears his people. Secondly tonight, not only do we serve a God that hears his people, but look verse number 2 with me, please. The Bible said, send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Now I'm going to make a statement tonight. Listen to me carefully. If I was going to a church where I didn't get no help, I'd quit going and start going to a church where I got some help. You say, why would you say such a thing, Pastor? I'll tell you why. Because, Brother Preston, we need help. We're living in the last of the last days. And, beloved, you and I, don't matter how long we've been saved, how long we've been serving God, we need help, amen. If we're going to do this thing the way God wants it done, we're going to have his help. We serve a God that hears his people, but we serve a God that helps his people. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. I'll say this tonight. COVID accomplished a lot of things. Number one, it let the government know what they can get by with. But number two, it took a lot of God's people out of the sanctuary and put them on the internet, and they still ain't come back. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not fussing. But if you'd be honest tonight, if you're sick, and I've been sick, I've been laying in the bed, Brother Jason, and listen to you stand in this pulpit, amen, because I couldn't get here that Sunday. And you was asking prayer for me. You was preaching the Word of God. And I thank God you were. But it ain't the same as being here. Amen. I'd have much rather been sitting right there on that front bench, amen, listening to the man of God preach the Word of God. We talked to a lady at the restaurant Sunday. She served our table. And she goes to church with a pastor in Dallas. You know what I mean? I invited her to come and be with us. I guarantee you she told me the pastor's name. I'm not going to get into all that. But we're a little bit different stripe. I promise you that. Amen. I told her this. I said, God said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. And I looked at her and I called her name. I said, you know what? One day you're going to be low and I can help you up. Another day I'm going to be low and you can help me up. But if we don't get together, we never know who needs help. Amen. Amen. The Bible said, exhorting one another, and even so much the more as you see the day approaching. We don't know if we don't get together. Amen. No wonder Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. A lot of people leave out that word together. That word together is very important. Because I found out a long time ago, you can have a bunch of people in the same room and them not be together. And you can also have some people that's 100 miles apart and be together. Amen. I thank God tonight, beloved, that the Bible said we serve a God that hears his people. But we serve a God that helps his people. This is coming from David, the man after God's own heart. David said, I found some help in the sanctuary. David believed in going to the house of God. Amen. And beloved, I believe it's in Psalm 23, the last verse. And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But he said, surely goodness, the last verse, and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let me ask you something. If somebody don't love God's house down here, what makes them think they're going to love his house over yonder? Amen. If somebody praising God and singing the praises of God makes people nervous down here, what in the world are they going to do in a place called heaven? Amen. If we don't have any desire to get help from God, then what are we going to do, beloved, when we get to heaven? I want you to go with me tonight to 1 Samuel. I want to show you this. David, the man after God's own heart, he wrote this psalm. And beloved, he's saying we can get some help. There was a time in David's life, beloved, when he needed some help. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I want to show you a couple of things here real quickly tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. That David knew that he served a God that could help him and that would help him. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, look at verse 29. And David said, he's talking to his brother Eliab, his eldest brother. He said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? David came down there and he heard about what the Philistine was doing, how he was cursing, how he was defying the armies of the living God. And then he said, and he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. You say, Pastor, why would a young man the way David was at this time, why would he volunteer to go fight? By the way, beloved, the last count I heard, there's 1,000 Americans over there with the people of Israel fighting that mess. Amen? They just got up, not our army, but just volunteered and said, we're going to go help them. Amen. Boy, thank God for that spirit. Amen. Thank God for somebody said, you know what? I'll stand right beside you. And if they take my life, I gave my life for a worthy cause. Amen. Here's David. He said, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. You say, Pastor, why do you think he was so eager? I'll tell you why. We're going to find out in the next few verses. Here's David's mindset. God helped me before. Woo! And he'll help me again. Hallelujah. Amen. That ought to be every one of us that's got any seasoning about us at all. Well, love it. When we come up against that wall, we ought to be shouting, glory to God. He helped me before and he'll help me again. We failed the Lord. But I dare somebody to stand and say how he's failed you. Amen. He's not. He never failed David. David did fail the Lord. But the Lord never failed David. Watch this now. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. So now David's been discouraged by his brethren. Now he's been discouraged by Saul himself. Or he's being discouraged, or they're trying to discourage him. In verse number 34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There's something that I want to give you tonight. Let me read just a little bit further. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. I've said this before, I'll say it again. If I'd have been the shepherd, I'd have said, well, I better stay here and watch the rest of them. He just got one. That ain't the shepherd we serve. Hallelujah. Amen. He'll leave the 99 to go out there and get that one. Watch this now. The Bible said, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. I mean, people think I'm something because I shot a bear with a crossbow. I tell you what, I don't want him by his beard. Amen. The lion either. Agent Rogers was preaching, and he was preaching on courage. And he said somebody come in with a lion's tail and held it up and said, boy, that took a lot of courage. He said, why didn't you cut his head off? He said, somebody had already done that. You'll get that after a while, amen. Don't take much courage when somebody done cut his head off. Amen. Watch this now. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. We serve a God that will help his people. Number one tonight, he will help us with our purpose. You see, David had a purpose of being a shepherd. He was a shepherd, and God helped him. You say, well, Pastor, that's just a small, menial job. It doesn't matter what the job is. If God's given you the job, that's your purpose, amen, in life. And what God is saying to us tonight, we ought to remember. We ought to remember that we serve a God that helps his people, and he will help us fulfill the purpose that he's given us in our life. He's just a shepherd boy. But I'm telling you, beloved, he's doing the will of God. David said, moreover, now up until now, you might think that David is bragging. And he is. But right now he makes it clear who he's bragging on. In verse number 37, David said, moreover, the Lord. I love it, don't you? Hallelujah. I can tell you why I'm standing here. I can tell you why I still have a testimony. I can tell you why there's been several times I didn't break a man's nose because of what he said, what he did, and destroyed my ministry and destroyed. I can tell you why I'm still married to the same woman. The Lord!
Amen.
That's why.
Amen.
The Lord, in his grace and in his mercy. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. I'll say God helps us, beloved, with our purpose. And then God helps us, number two, with what's proven. Look what the Bible said in verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor. And he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. I believe this was one of the sorriest things to look at that you could ever see. You know, Saul was a great old big man. Amen? David, he's not a real big man because when they come, the sons of Jesse come before Samuel. Samuel thought, beloved, listen, surely this is the one. No. Got any more? Yeah, there's one out yonder. And when he come, God said, that's the man. I sought me out a man not because of what you see, but a man after my own heart. Amen. And beloved, God used David. And David now is not going to go with Saul's armor. Why? Because it doesn't fit. He hasn't proven it. Amen. Let me ask you something, beloved, tonight. Have you proven that prayer works? Have you proven that the Word of God in your life, amen, will get the job done? Have you proven, beloved, that God's Word, when it goes forth, will not return void? That's what God's telling us here tonight. David's going to go with something that's proven. And David girded his sword upon his armor and he essayed to go. He wouldn't go. He had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. Let me say this to you tonight. I'm going to say it gently and kindly. But beloved, some will never be what they ought to be and fulfill the purpose of God in their life because there's something they're unwilling to lay aside.
Amen.
Beloved, we must go not with what somebody else thinks or somebody else thinks fits, but what we have proven ourselves. A lot of people, all they know about the Bible is what the preacher said. That should not be the case. Everybody ought to read the Bible for themselves. Amen. If somebody gets up here and reads out of another version, it ought to sound like Greek. You ought to know the Bible well enough to know, hey, that ain't right. Amen. Now, you don't have to study all the other versions. Just study the right one. Say amen. And when somebody comes out, that mess, it'll stick out like a sore thumb.
Amen.
God is letting us know tonight we can remember we serve a God that hears His people. We serve a God tonight that helps His people.
Amen.
He helps us with our purpose.
Yeah.
He helps us with what's proven. But then let me give you this. I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter. It's a very familiar story. But He'll help us with the Philistine. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Every one of us has got some kind of a giant in our life.
Right.
Every one of us do. Would somebody say amen?
Amen. Amen.
Every one of us do. Some of it's because of our past. That's why you'll never hear me telling youngins, sow your wild oats. You sow your wild oats, you reap your wild oats. God can forgive a man for his wild oats. Wild oats leave scars. Every one of us has got some kind of giant. And you know what God wants to do? He wants to help us.
Amen.
I'll tell you this. There ain't never been a giant that could go up against my God.
Amen.
That's why over, I believe it's in Little John, he said, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world.
Amen.
We're without excuse. We don't need to lay down and play dead to that giant. Say amen.
Amen.
We need to face it. Amen. And face it in the strength that God wants to give His people. We serve a God that helps His people. All right. Brother Gary, when I was preparing to preach, I thought about something. You've said it to me many times in these last 11 years, almost 11. Brother Gary will say this. He'll shake hands with me and grin. He'll say, I believe my pastor got a little help today. I like it. Eh? You remember saying that? I believe my pastor got a little help today. Well, let me ask you this. If I can't get a little help, how can I expect anybody else to get a little help? Amen! Thank God we serve a God that helps His people. He's going to help you, Brother Jason, be the daddy. I believe you're going to be a wonderful dad, brother. Because I know who's first in your life. He's going to help you. He's going to help you. And I'm going to tell you something right now. They're a whole lot easier the size they are right now. You understand what I just said? You remember being a teenager, don't you? They're a whole lot easier, amen, when you're carrying them in to the house of God. Well, beloved, they're going to grow up. We're going to need some help, amen. And I'm going to tell you something. This daddy didn't always do the right thing. I didn't always say the right thing. I didn't always depend on the Lord the way that I should have. Amen. Thank God He saved me. Thank God He's helping me along the way. We serve a God in November to remember. Remember, we serve a God that hears His people. We serve a God that helps His people. But I want you to see this tonight. We serve a God that honors His people. Look at verse 3 with me, please. Let me go back over here to the book of Psalms. Verse 3. The Bible said, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Now today, we're not bringing burnt sacrifices. We're not bringing lambs and turtle doves and having blood all over the place. Because the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses all of our sin.
Amen.
He went to Calvary. Those other sacrifices were a type. But there's still a sacrifice in our life. Look at verse number 5. The Bible said, we will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. It's talking about answering prayer. The banners is talking about having some marks in your life, some places in your life that God has blessed you. Some places to remember. I looked at that word rejoice. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews just a moment. And I'll show you where the Lord took me in my heart and in my mind. Hebrews chapter number 13. No, we're not bringing lambs. We're not bringing turtle doves. But the Bible, in verse number 10 of Hebrews chapter 13, said this: "We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, with his own blood suffered without the gate." Years ago when I started preaching, it was a common question to ask a pastor. And this was the question: whose camp are you in? I can't even remember all the names, but were you in John Rice's camp? Or were you in Jack Hiles's camp? Or were you in Curtis Hudson's camp? I had one answer for everybody that asked me that question. None of them. I'm outside the camp with Jesus. That was my answer. I'm outside the camp. Shame on Christian people. If one man likes this preacher and you don't like him, or maybe that preacher said something that wasn't just right, guess what? If you preach, you're going to do that one of these days. Amen, Brother John. We're going to say something that ain't just right. God will have to change our minds sometimes, even where we stood on an issue.
Amen.
I'm not talking about the cardinal doctrines of the Word of God. I'm talking about, beloved, those things in the fringe, those things that many times are preferences, and the flesh tries to make them convictions. Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
The Bible, watch it now. He said, "Let us go forth therefore unto Jesus without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." That's going to come together.
Amen.
Look at verse 15. "By him therefore let us offer not a lamb, not a turtle dove, but the sacrifice of praise." Can I let you all in on something? There's nothing in the flesh that wants to praise God.
Amen.
Any praise that's offered to God comes from the new man that lives on the inside of the old man.
Amen.
You say, "Pastor, why do you say that?" Well, what did Jesus say? "They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth." The flesh don't want to praise God. It is a sacrifice, beloved. The Bible said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God." No, we don't have blood all over the altar, but I'll tell you what we ought to have. We ought to have our lives laid on the altar. We ought to bless the Lord because he's the one that hears his people. He's the one that helps his people.
Amen.
And he's the one that honors his people.
Amen.
He honors the sacrifice of praise. I'll tell you something right now. Anything that's worth doing is going to cost you something. If you're going to study, it's going to cost you something. If you're going to pray, it's going to cost you something. If you're going to go after lost people, it's going to cost you something. What did David say? I think he was going to bury his wife, if I remember correctly, and they were going to give him the burying place. And he said, "I'm not going to offer to the Lord of that which costs me nothing." It's a sacrifice. But I'm going to tell you what God does. He honors that sacrifice.
Amen.
I'm not throwing any stones tonight, but I'm going to say it like this. I believe Brother Jack Sturgill retired right.
Amen. Amen.
You say, "What do you mean, Pastor?" I believe he had a retirement program that was out of this world. There can come a day, it did for Brother Don, when Brother Don realized, I can't serve my people the way I want to. I'm not able to. But I'm going to tell you what, he didn't quit preaching. He didn't quit going after souls. Even, beloved, when he was confined to his recliner, he didn't quit praying, Brother John.
Amen.
He was still asking God to help us. Still asking God to help his people. We serve a God that honors his people. Lastly, tonight in the message, chapter number 20 here. In verse number 4, he said, grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. The last thing in the message tonight I want to share with you is we serve a God that knows the heart of his people. How many times when Jesus was on the earth, sometimes it was the Pharisees, sometimes it was his disciples. And Brother Jason, he told them what they were thinking. They didn't even have to spit it out. I mean, because he knew what was in their heart. He knows what's in our heart tonight. Amen. If you will, take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 4 just a moment. The Bible said in verse 7 in Psalms, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I want to make a statement on that verse tonight before we go to Hebrews, and I'll close. I believe, I'm letting you know where I stand, in a strong military. Ronald Reagan was the first one that I believe said the phrase, peace through strength. And I believe it was a good doctrine, so to speak. I believe it was a good place to stand. I believe in a strong military. But Brother Houston, in World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, all of the conflicts that the United States had faced, I believe there was something bigger in the hearts of the people on American soil, amen, Brother Allen, than the tanks and the ships and the planes and the bombs. I believe there was praying going on. I've talked to many men who said, my mama prayed me home. Many men didn't even know Christ. Some came to know him in a foxhole while the bullets were flying over their head. All I'm saying is I believe in a strong military. But I'll say what I said many times about education. If a military takes us away from depending on the Lord our God, we're in trouble.
Amen.
Believe in a good education, but if it takes you away from trusting in the Lord, there's something wrong with that education. Takes you away from the house of God. Takes you away from the things of God. Takes you away from your knees. Takes you away from your Bible. Takes you away from a burden for souls. There's something wrong with that education. We serve a God that knows the heart of his people. Hebrews chapter 4 tonight, and I'm finished. I used to say I'm done. Then I've got this English teacher that I married. I'm going to be honest with you now. That ain't the only thing she straightened me out on. Brother David, you don't have to agree with everything I say. I'm kidding you, brother. Amen. I'll never forget the service when I called on Brother David to pray. You remember that? Oh, Brother David Jones. I actually meant Brother David back there, but you got two Davids. I mean, one of you just take off. Brother David, you lit in talking to the Lord, and I told David Dunham after church, I said, that's the best praying I've ever heard you do. Didn't I, Brother David? Amen. Why, good night. Why can't we have a good time on the way to heaven? Amen. I think it'd be all right if you had four Davids if they all just started praying at the same time. Be like that one woman that people gathered around the altar, and she told the pastor, said, I didn't understand a word they were saying. He said, honey, they wasn't talking to you. Amen. We serve a God that knows the heart of His people. Look at verse 9, chapter 4. There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into this rest, his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from His. There's still a bunch of people trying to work their way to heaven. You know that, don't you? You can rest in Jesus. That's a good resting place. I remember a young man said to a seasoned preacher, Brother Jason, he said, I got a lot riding on this book. That old preacher looked at him and said, son, that's a good place to let her ride. Got a lot riding on this book. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We serve a God tonight that knows our heart. I'm glad He does. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. See, if you don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, you can't believe that verse. See, if Jesus was born of the seed of the man the way that you and I were, then He would be of the seed of Adam, like you and I are. But He was born of the seed of the woman, the Spirit of God conceived in Mary. Because of all that, look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find, I love these three words, grace to help the time of need. Brother Allen, they're fixing to take that skill saw to your leg. They done told him, for 10 days, going to be rough. Amen. Sister Louise, you try to remember that now, okay? Put your rolling pin up for 10 days. After that, you have my permission. Amen. You say, why'd you say that? Because when you're facing surgery, facing trials, facing tribulations, God has grace to help. He knows our heart. He'll help us. We'll just ask Him to. How many's glad you come tonight?